I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. So we have four members present. Katie Hinter called me earlier, and due to some family and health concerns, she has decided that she is not going to serve this term. So we will be posting for that opening pretty soon. Okay. At the beginning of the meeting, we always have a period for public comment. This is an opportunity, if you are not able to stay for the meeting, you want to talk about something on the agenda, this is your opportunity. Okay? All right. And just in case anybody did notice, during COVID, and I don't know if maybe it'll continue afterwards, if somebody wants to comment on something and isn't able to be here, they can email me their comments and I can read them into the record. So it's noted on the agenda. So I'll ask for approval of the minutes for September 29th.
I'm the only one that was here. I approve.
That's all on you, baby.
I approve.
It's all about you right now.
Okay.
You approve it?
Diane,
you second it?
Motion for approval. All in favor?
I approve.
Aye. All right. So now we'll have the approval of the agenda for February 23rd. I will suggest that we move the election of the chair and vice chair, number one under general business, move that to the top of the agenda so that I don't have to continue running the meeting. Do y'all a favor. So do I have a motion?
Yep. I'll second.
Did you make the motion?
I'll make the motion.
Colleen, all right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, so number one under general business.
Business?
Under general business. elect a new chair and vice chair of the Good Spring CAC. So does anybody have a nomination for chair?
Yes, I would like to nominate Monica as the chair. Welcome back.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
All right, we have a nomination for Monica. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Who's the current chair and vice chair?
We don't know.
Katie and Tom.
And
okay.
I don't even remember, but it doesn't
matter. Yeah, so long ago.
It was Katie and Tom.
It's in the past.
We don't look past. Yep.
It's in the past. So do we have a nomination for vice chair?
I nominate Shannon for
oh
vice
gosh.
Chair.
Oh my gosh, hitting up the new people.
Welcome. Welcome. I'm going to throw you in the deep end.
All right. So
welcome.
We have a motion for Shannon for vice chair. All in favor?
All right.
All right. All right, Monica. Take it away.
Okay. Approval of the agenda for February.
We already did that.
We already did that. Information items. Receive a report from Metro, who's here. Thank you, sir. Yes. And I've never met you, so.
All good right now?
Yep.
Okay.
Step up to the podium, if you will.
I'll sit at the podium.
Oh, yeah.
All right,
a new item that I'm not used to. The podium.
Yeah.
I know. Isn't it beautiful?
How's everybody doing? I'm Sergeant Pickerell with Metro, obviously. I am new to this game. I have taken over the command of the Southwest Resident Section, which includes State Line, Good Spring, Sandy Valley, Red Rock, and areas like that. I was fortunate enough to, normally, one of the things that I identified that the Resident Section out here was kind of lacking in the sense was, when you have someone take over command every year to 2 years, what you get is this peak and valley, up and down, nothing gets accomplished. There's a couple reasons for that. Sergeants love to come in and blow things up. Systems, get rid of this, get rid of that. I want this, I want that. I fell into a fortunate position where I give all the credit to Sergeant Dean. And why is that? Because he left me with a great platform. All I have to do is build off of that. I don't have to break anything down. How does that benefit everybody up here? Well, I made the decision that when I got proposed this assignment, it was such a good place to be that I stopped all testing for lieutenant, promoting, going back to where I come from, which is Vice and Narcs. And I was all in. All in. Why is that important to, like I said, Good Springs, Sandy Valley, Charles Canyon, all those places? Because I'm not coming in for 1-2 years to build a resume. Trust me, my resume is long enough. Okay? I'm here. I'm here for the work. So, again, you're not going to have this 1-2 years and then a new sergeant comes in for command and then blows everything up, and then it's this constant, you know, there's great ideas on the table, but nothing's getting done.
You're never leaving us?
Well, eventually, I have a solid 6 years until I retire. But I'll tell you what, you know, it's coming from where I come from. This could probably extend my career a little bit. I'm not saying I don't want it to. I'm just saying it's good times out here. So I've been up here 4 months. The most common question that I get is, how am I going to run the station? It runs itself. There's a lot of great guys. We have 10 guys, 24/7, for the most part, service. This is my only answer. It commits me, but it commits me in a way that it's flexible. So I answer it the same way. The station, I'm going to run the officers at the station in a balanced and measured response to whatever it is we're doing. Why is that important? We're not in Vegas. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Policing is a little different out here. It's different from Prim to Good Springs, and it's different from Sandy Valley to Calico Basin. Why is that important? Relationships for one, getting things done for two. I'm not a politician. I'm not. There is a political platform to this position. I get it. But like I was telling my guys, don't screw with the locals. And everybody says, what do you mean don't screw with the locals? You know, there's laws. You're absolutely right. There's laws. I'll give you an example. We get a call of a guy shooting around with a rifle, say, in Sandy Valley. It's illegal shooting the county clerk. Now, is it a gang member being a you-know-what, ripping off around? Or is it Joe Farmer shooting a coyote to protect his, you know, pigs from the slaughter? There's a difference, you know? And that it's got to be on a case-by-case basis. If I just came in and said, this is the law, I run the station, I'm not going to get anywhere, if that makes sense to anybody. So I'm excited about being up here. I'm all in. There's a lot of great guys up here. And you guys have, I didn't even know where Good Springs was when I came up here. Mind you, I come from Vice and Narcs, so it's a little different atmosphere. And like I was saying this at the Mount Springs, if I was smart enough, I'd be living out here and driving into town instead of vice versa. I live in Madera Canyon, which is an anthem. Why is that good for you guys? I'm not coming across the city to come to work. It literally takes me 14 minutes to get to the station. So you guys will see me a lot. You will have interaction with the officers more than you will with me, for obvious reasons. And before I forget, I'll bring this up, because it was Megan's brain child. I am not a Facebook guy. My name stretch the means. I don't have my personal life. I don't have Instagram. I don't have any of that. Megan came to me with an idea about creating a Metro Southwest resident page that services, you know, the Good Springs, Sandy Valley, Prim, Calico Basin, whatever. Why is that important? It works. And everybody says, why are you doing it? One, to control the narrative. Now, people say, oh, control the narrative, it's First Amendment violation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting accurate, timely, and new information out to the public. You know, like when we closed Sandy Valley Pass. Lessons learned from that. You know, if you guys can or whatever, go ahead and join the page. I do want you guys to know this, that I am the one that is physically typing the messages on there. Why is that important? Because I don't want people thinking that it's some intern down at headquarters or some intern down at the PIO unit typing away what I say. It's not. I have an investment into it. One, my grammar, which I'm anal about. It takes me like 10 minutes to write a 3-line sentence because I'm constantly like, okay, does that match? You know. But,
is this a Facebook page? Is that what you're saying?
It is.
It's so what's it called?
LBMPD, Southwest Resin Section. It is not, I'm not posting things daily. It's maintained regularly. And that's, like I said, to control the narrative, give out the information.
Right? Is it interactive?
You will not be able to interact with
me. So
it's
just information.
So I get the information, people are on it, and then they share it. I know Sandy Valley has a community page. That's kind of where it all originated. I'm not a juggernaut when it comes to stuff. Mm-hmm. I literally am reading, I Google every rule in the world when it comes to Facebook. So I'm like, can you do this? But I'm getting better. There are times I'll type a couple times a week, and there's times that I won't type. You know what I mean? But it gets you the accurate information out. So, you know, because there's a lot of questions. When I closed Sandy Valley Pass, that went from a pony in the Columbia Pass to, by the time I got the phone call from headquarters, it was a dragon killing people. And I thought, there's got to be a better way to do this than what I'm doing right now. So we're going to move forward with a couple ideas. I am not stupid. The things that I implement for the station that work at Bonanza 28th will not work out here. I get it. So I'm going to make my decisions with a thoughtful process, if that makes sense. So these guys are awesome. This assignment is awesome. We are implementing a couple of things. I-15, how many people think speed on I-15? I didn't realize this.
Everyone?
It seems like everybody's going 120. To where even I'm like, even I get nervous. Right? And I'm the one in the cop car. I saw it too much. We were pulling guys over, 120, 140, 160.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I don't make many changes. This was a pretty quick one. I told my guys, there's no writing tickets for doing 120, 140, 160. I learned my lesson. We pulled the dude doing 146. We should have just arrested him.
Oh, my God.
That's my fault.
Was he from California?
No. He was from...
California.
He wasn't from Nevada. But that was a common occurrence. We just pulled someone over the other day for 160. So I told my guys, I gave them a directive, if you want to call it. Anybody doing 100 plus, they're getting arrested and their car's getting towed. I don't care where they're going.
Right on.
And eventually the message will get out. You know, things of that nature. I hear what people send me emails and stuff of what they're having in their communities, the issues. I am all for fixing those, but remember, the people that are sending emails are part of that community also. I'll give you an example. There's another community, kind of that way, that they want speed trap. First, it's not 1982, we don't call it speed trap, but if that's what you want to call it, it's fine. If I run that with, say, 3 officers in 4 hours, how many people do you think we're pulling over that were part of that email?
Everybody.
Everybody. Exactly. So it's one of those things. I'll fix the problem.
But you get what you ask for.
You get what you ask for. So just remember, it's a great idea, but I've never yet run something where it doesn't incorporate the people in the emails. And then they don't want that. So we're here 100%. I'm 100% committed. I am a workaholic. Workaholic. If you have my personal number, you have it for a reason, you can call me 24/7.
Can you define what you meant when you said balanced and measured?
Balanced and measured. I used the example of the Sandy Valley where a guy is shooting a coyote and a gangbanger just shooting the gun. One, I'm big on intent. What is the person's intent? Two, I am, when it comes to the measured, what exactly it is that we're dealing with and how does it help the people, the victims, and how does it affect the suspect? And everybody's like, how does it affect the suspect? Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you a perfect example. A homeless guy that's driving around a car that has three wheels, you know, it's fully loaded, and all the man needs is a food and shower, you know, and the officer pulls him over. That was, you know, Cactus and Las Vegas Boulevard, the car would be getting towed. But out here, you got to take in consideration, you're probably towing the guy's house, right? That's true, right?
Yeah.
So now how do we do it? Well, we use a balanced approach, saying, hey, it's cold enough out here as it is. So how are we going to fix this? I don't know. It's a case-by-case basis, and I have to make an educated decision. Like I said, all these great communities, they will have interaction with the officers more than you'll have interaction with me. It's designed that way. And I'm willing to have a cup of coffee with anybody, listen to everybody, and just move forward. I've been here 4 months. I think I've accomplished a lot in 4 months, but I know there's a lot to go, if that makes sense. It's different policing out here. So.
We have some unique issues.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you do.
That you don't have, you know, on Boulder Highway.
Yeah. You know, you guys are in a good position. You know, you guys have an awesome place out here. Sandy Valley has an awesome place. Redone Village has an awesome place. And you guys want to maintain the pristineness of that, whatever level that is. I get it. I totally get it. You know, one of the things that kind of raised a red flag with me, and again, I've been on patrol for a long time. That doesn't mean anything other than my uniform sizes were not the same when I came out. It was almost embarrassing. I was like, I couldn't wrap my head around it, and I was denying it. You know, I'm smart enough to know that a razor can't be on the streets. But when you see 10 of them, I have a hard time believing 10 guys got together and say, hey, bud, let's go here. So that means it's a company. That's where I have a problem. If it was just some dude with his dad, you know, him and his son, again, that's where that measured response comes in. Have fun, brother, just stay off the streets. But when you're pulling over like I did on the backside the other day, and there's five of them, they all look the same, they all got the little red flag hanging off, and they're all blue. I have a hard time believing that's five individual people. So it was a company. That's where I have the problem. If you're going to make money off these people, then try to play within the rules. Respect the bylaws that they have in place, because you can get that permit pulled, and I will do it. First go around now, second go around now. At the end of the day, do you think the owner knows it? Could go either way. Could be a rogue employee. Could go either way. But if it's something that I have to keep on addressing for the sake of the people of Good Springs, I'm all about getting things done. Sometimes you're past the talking stage. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be fines or, you know, I can easily call it SIS division, which handles businesses, and say, here's the scenario, this is what we got, where we're going to go with this. Everybody responds to fines. Everybody. It all depends what the fine is. You know, people that are getting speeding tickets are expensive now. It's not like when I was a kid, which was not that long ago. You know, you're looking at speeding tickets are expensive. You know, it's just going up. So everybody has a price. He might be a business owner. It might not phase him to get a $500 ticket. Well, that's fine. Tickets go up. You know, so we can work with that. So I'm here for everybody. I'm a workaholic. Don't be shy. I'm very approachable. People don't think I am. I'm very approachable. We'll just handle business.
Do you have a card that anybody on the board can have? Or?
I do. They're being made. My old cards say Vice, UC, but they are getting made. I should have them here probably about a week or two.
You had cards that said undercover. Isn't that kind of defeat the purpose?
Yeah. it's advice. So believe it or not, advice, you still have meetings. You know, you look like a bum, but you still have meetings. But there's a lot of great things happening out here. I'm sad to say, I don't know how much incorporation or relations you have with Prim. The security director out there, who I had respect for, was doing an amazing job. He was working his you-know-what off. He's leaving, which is, it kind of sucks in the sense that that dude worked his butt off. And he was all about how Prim affects Sandy Valley, how Prim affects Good Springs, Gene, things of that nature. But when you handcuff someone that's trying to make decisions, eventually he's going to leave. So that's a good thing about the station, the assignment that I'm at. Sergeant, but it's kind of like juiced up stripes. So I run the station like a lieutenant or a captain. I deal with everything with staffing, to budgeting, to equipment, to how to utilize our resources, which is kind of unique. But it is a great opportunity. People use it to build their resume, to promote. I've already stopped studying. I was like, thank God, I'm done with this. Just because I found my happy spot. So I'm not out here to promote. Not out here to make someone's golf team. Like I said, I wouldn't commit to the Facebook page, which, by the way, his name's Jason, right? Jason, I got to give full credit to Jason. Jason works with Megan. He's kind of like a PIO guy for Commissioner Jones. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, he's his executive assistant, okay. But he is so much more than an assistant. Yeah. He's fantastic.
If you thought I was screening a page, you're crazy. It wasn't going to happen.
He made us feel very old. He's 23, and he knows everything about social media inside and out.
Yeah, he was shocked I didn't have a Facebook account to begin with. And I'm like, all right, let's get past that. So I give him credit. He was nice enough to spend his day, come up, get me all set up. I'm still learning the process a little bit. So you probably don't see me posting as much, only because I'm still trying to grasp how the whole thing works.
You're going to get the bug.
What's that?
You're going to get the bug.
No.
So Facebook's complicated because it's based on a person. Everything's based on a person. And as an officer, he doesn't necessarily want to have it as his person. So we had to work around that. So his posts, when he posts something, I'll share it so that you all can see it. And then you can like the page. But it's not like a person that you can interact with in the same way. But we found when the snow happened, we were sharing information, we were texting back and forth, and people who seem to think they know what's going on in Sandy Valley were posting information that was completely inaccurate. And it got very frustrating because they were contradicting what I was saying, which I got directly from him. So this way you can get it directly from the man who's making the decisions. So,
yeah.
So the accurate information to get now.
Absolutely, and to bring up the Sandy Valley Pass, and I talked about this in the Sandy Valley community meeting. I'll just kind of highlight it a little bit. The sole decision-making on who closes that pass is me. So I don't want you thinking it's Highway Patrol. I don't want you thinking it's county. I don't want you thinking it's some dude at headquarters. It is solely my decision. Why is that important? It was my first time dealing with it. I wasn't sure how to go about it, but common sense overrules anything. Not in front of me. So the way I kind of looked at it, what was happening is we were having all these cars go up there, and it was one accident after another, after another, after another. I've got to stop the bleeding at some point. So I just simply shut it down so we can clean up the whole mess. And then I reopened it to four-wheel drive and tire chains. Never did it before. Everybody says, I had one of my guys ask me, what's my barometer? So he knows. My barometer is there potential for a head-on collision. And I don't mean head-on collision as in everybody's dead and all that craziness. It could be 5 miles an hour. If that potential is there, I will shut it down. I'm not going to shut it down for 10 hours, but I'm going to shut it down long enough to clean up what we need to clean up, get the sand trucks in there, and then allow four-wheel drive and chain vehicles. And it will be monitored. So when I make that decision, my guys are monitoring Sandy Valley Road, and they're keeping me updated. They're smart dudes, hardworking guys. If they say a Sarge just needs to be closed down, and I'm in Anthem, I will close it down from my phone. I'm not trying to inconvenience anybody. It is all about safety, 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 safety. So we're incorporating the sand trucks. We're incorporating the I'm going to open it up, but only to four-wheel and chained tired vehicles. If we have to clean it up, we have to clean it up. But the reason why I tell you who the decision maker is solely so you can point your finger at me. So you're not pointing it at anybody else, or getting mad at anybody else, or thinking, who's making this BS decision? It is 100% me. And I will fall on the error side of safety every time. I only had to do it one time. I thought the plan was pretty good. But that's what Megan's talking about, because I was getting calls from headquarters, literally the watch commander in town, saying, there's a head-on collision fatal? And I'm like, where? And they're like, on Sandy Valley Road. And I'm like, no. That's what I was joking around about. Started off as a pony crossing the street, and it ended up being a drag and killing people in the middle of the road. And I was like, what? And it happened quick. Mm-hmm. I mean, one minute I'm getting a phone call, hey, Sarge, you got to make a decision. And the next thing I know, I'm getting a call from the watch commander going, what is going on? And it happened quick. We're talking minutes. So I learned my lesson. That's where the Facebook page came when Megan said, hey, would you consider? And just so everybody knows, I am not obligated to do it. I don't have to do it. I do it for the betterment of these communities. I'm not a Facebook guy. Trust me, I could have easily just skipped over that process. But you talk about the interaction. The security is in place. There is no interaction between the page and the community. I got approval through my cabinet, through the PIO to go with it, but at the end of the day, the sergeant or the sheriff does not want to see Metro getting MF'd all day long. It's not good publicity. So I get the information out there. What you guys do with it is what you guys do with it. And who knows? Maybe I'll build on it. You know, I'll have an Instagram fashion or something.
See? Yeah. MySpace. Yeah.
And I'm going to have this guy, my VP. He's going to run my media.
It's just such an efficient way to get information out.
Absolutely.
Since it is so efficient, we want it to be good information.
And again, when I say control and error, that's how I described it. My job is to control the narrative. I am not controlling the First Amendment. That actually got asked me the last time. It is solely, when I say controlling the narrative, it is solely so you good folks have the accurate, true information directly from Metro. That way you can work around that. Decisions can be made. You know, do I want to shut down Sandy Valley Road and funnel everybody through Good Springs? I'm sure you guys would not appreciate that. You know what I mean? So how do I work around that? Well, I created a choke point or turnaround point. Are people going to come to Good Springs? Absolutely. But my goal is not to have 100 vehicles start stomping through your town. So it's a learning process. We'll get through it. And again, I'm totally approachable. If people don't think that, and that's not the case, I'm very approachable. You just will interact with the officers more than you're. Is that long-winded?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm
happy to have you.
Yay.
Thanks, VP. Yeah, I'm telling you, you're going to be my media relations. What's your first name, sir?
Steve.
Everything's going to go through Steve.
Yeah.
Sure. Get your phone ready, Steve.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Okay, do we have the person from Clark County Administrative Services?
No, they're not here. No, yes, it's me.
Is that you?
Yes. Oh, my God.
I didn't know if maybe we had a special
person. You have it. You waited two more seconds.
Okay.
Oh,
didn't you just nominate her chair?
So I'm not going to the podium. So,
I'll bring the podium to you. It's up to you.
Seriously? Okay. So,
good one, Colleen. Good one.
Okay. So the COVID, I put out on Facebook again that we are working on getting a COVID vaccine clinic in Sandy Valley. I'm still working on it. Turning out to be more complicated than I thought, but it's still going to happen. I don't have a date. We are going, now that things have changed, we're going to go down to 65.
Ooh.
So as soon as I have a date, we'll be pushing it out. I will be telling everybody, come over and get your vaccines. I think they're going to send us out 150. So that should do pretty good to cover those that need it in the community, and then some. So,
what about us?
You guys can go get yours as continuum of government or continuum of governance, and just tell them that that's what you.
And where do we go?
Just go on the health district website, make your appointments. So I got my second one on Friday. It was not bad at all. I didn't get very sick. I had Pfizer. And the shot is so quick. It's like a mosquito bite. I mean, it's so quick. Like, I can't believe they can do a whole shot in that. Because I was like, oh, and it was gone. So, anyway, that's my experience. My husband and I did have COVID in January. So, I feel pretty
safe now. What was the term you called? What are we supposed to say?
What?
That we are, so that we can get this, since we're not 65?
Continuance of governance, or continuum of governance. So when you do the drop down, it'll say there's different options. So, and if you run into problems, let me know. So, I'm still working on it. Every day we get updates, every Tuesday and Thursday, and it's always my number one question, Sunny Valley. And I wish I could bring it to Good Springs too, but because they pack them in certain cases, they can't be transported, and they can only open them and use them. So that's where we had to do Sunny Valley.
Can we travel there?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, anybody from Prim can come.
Okay.
We don't want to start telling Southern Highlands, come get your shots, you know, but if you, you know, have a cousin in town who wants to come out, you know, as long as we get our residents served first. Yeah.
So were you still trying to get that bus to transport some people over there that don't
have... I'll talk to Silver Rider and see about that, and I am... I've been trying to get that for Indian Springs too. So yeah, I'll. Okay. But it's hard for me to plan that until I have a date. So yeah. I'm pushing, and believe me, it's very frustrating to me too, because I want to make this happen and get it done and get people vaccinated. So. Okay. Family Dollar in Sandy Valley is coming along. If you haven't been over there lately, they broke ground right before the end of the year. If you didn't know, it's at Hopi and Quartz, which is the street that goes up to the school. They construction is not going to start right away because they are actually making it a little bit bigger. They have submitted plans, and they're expanding it already. So it's kind of exciting. They are going to have OHV parking and horse parking. So it's going to be a cool project. Gas station was approved at the store, at the existing store.
Wow.
And
at Ken and Debbie's place?
Oh, it's not Ken and Debbie.
Well, but...
Yes, Sandy Valley General Store.
Place, yeah.
Yes. And they have it all staked out and everything. So if you didn't know about that, it's an above-ground tank. And it's kind of a new technology, something they use like at airports. So it's an above-ground tank, so we're going to have gas in Sandy Valley before too long. That's all I have. Cool. Seems like I don't have much for being gone so long, but any questions for me?
What about the budgets and the projects that we requested to use up our budget?
Those got sent in, because we talked about them in September, and then I won't have an update till this September, because it has to go through the whole budget
for a year?
Cycle. Yeah.
Okay.
I update them every fall. Mm-hmm. So.
Didn't know.
So we won't know.
Okay.
Well, I will tell you that Pick and I are working together on a lot of stuff. He's getting through his first round of meetings, so he's just getting to know you guys and what your concerns are, what your priorities are. But we've already talked about a couple things that we're going to work on together, so I'm really excited to have... I was very heartbroken when Sergeant Dean left, because my sergeants keep leaving me, and I am so glad of what the replacement was, because we're working together really well. So I think we're going to make some good stuff happen. All right. Oh, and the thing Monica, you guys heard us talking, the thing Monica and I were talking about before the meeting, and this isn't for a couple months, but this year marks the 50th anniversary of the Wild Horse and Burro Act, and there is a woman, and I can't think of her name off the top, I think her name is Stacy. She rides, she has adopted Mustangs, and she is, to celebrate the 50th anniversary, she is riding a Mustang. She's going to start at Cowboy Trail Rides in Red Rock. Write it down. She's going to stop in Good Springs on Sunday evening, or Sunday afternoon. We are going to have an event at the Pioneer, so you can come out and meet her horse. I think you're going to bring her. I have an adopted burro from the Good Springs herd. I think we're going to bring him over and try to get a couple horses that have been adopted from the herd here so you guys can meet them. And she'll give a talk about her experiences. She's done long-range rides all over the place, and she's really very interesting. So that's what we're working on. We don't have it definite yet, but I think it's going to be pretty cool. Pretty cool thing for
us. I just looked back at the email and you didn't say her name in it.
Oh, I know. I can't because I don't know. It for
no,
sure.
I don't remember.
She was introducing me real briefly. So anyway, so that's what we were talking about. So that's yet to come. So.
Tentative dates already on that?
And that May 2nd.
May.
Unless something were to change drastically, that's the plan. She's going to leave Cowboy Trail Rides Saturday morning, overnight, and she's going to come through Cottonwood Pass and then overnight here. Sunday night, and she's riding all the way up along through kind of the California border, all the way up. I love riding, but man,
that's a lot.
That's a long ride, all by just her and her horse and her dog. So
it's just going to be the one horse at my place. How many panels do you need, or are you bringing them?
We'll figure that out.
Okay.
She's. Diane is graciously hosting the horse at her house overnight, and her
woman
with her little tent, and the lady with her little tent. But,
yeah.
So yeah, it's a really, you know what? It's something exciting and just nice and cool for right now. You know, there's so much negativity and everything, and it's just pure awesome Western heritage stuff.
We get so many people at the bar that you know. Come through here on their you know razors and stuff like that, and they see the burros and they see the horses, and they're always asking about them. They're always saying, you know, are those burros still here? Mm-hmm. You know, I took pictures of them out my front door, and then you said that you had one of the
our baby
relatives.
Rocky was the last burro born here in this herd because his mother was killed, so there are no other baby burros here. So he's orphaned and he lives with us now. And he thinks he's a big dog. So it'll be fun to bring him over and introduce him to everybody.
Yeah.
So. All right.
Thank you.
And the rest is me too. So I'll just. Mm-hmm.
So you'll just stay there
I'll
for the
there,
review and approval of the calendar?
So I handed out the
nope.
calendar. Because we are at the end of the year, we always run into holidays. I didn't bring a copy of here with me. I think this coming year, it's not too bad. I'm going to look over here. The only one that is really in question is. December 28th, it's the meeting between Christmas and New Year's. You guys can meet. I don't think I'm going to want to meet between Christmas and New Year's. We usually cancel it, but it's up to you. This is also the opportunity if you want to change the time, which I know we tried in the past. And so,
yes.
Well, you guys have
this
to vote on.
This 7:30 stuff's ridiculous.
We have some people that have to have it at 7:30. So that's for you guys to discuss. And then the December 28th.
When can we discuss it?
Right now? This is your
time. Okay. Can somebody please tell me why it is that we're doing this so late? Why is it at 7:30?
Some of us had jobs that could not get us here any earlier.
And that's still the case?
No.
That's not still the case?
Not for me. It might be for her.
Is that still the case?
7's fine with me.
The earlier, I mean, if it's just a half hour, anything earlier is better.
7's fine with me. Does that work?
So mm-hmm. Can I take a motion for that?
You can if you want to.
And include the...
What about 6?
Nope.
No?
Then
okay.
You can make it at
6.
Okay. Anything that is earlier, I mean, even a half hour is better. So.
I have one meeting that starts at 6 and everyone on the board is retired. So.
Do you want to go... What time can you be here, Colleen?
Well, it's more you than me.
Do you want to do 6:30? I mean, bearing traffic, I can do 6:30.
I will meet whatever time you want.
I usually wake up at 5, so we could
do
5.
I'm a 5:20 a.m., so...
5 in the morning?
Yeah. I'd be all fresh. And,
yeah.
No, I will not be fresh at 5 in the morning. But, yeah.
I agree.
6:30.
I'm cool if it's 6:30. If traffic's fine and I... get out, then I get out. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to need to make a motion on the time change as well as the acceptance.
December?
of this calendar and what we want to do about November and December, which often gets thrown out somehow.
Well, November this year's okay.
Is it okay?
It's
just typical. What?
I
don't like November.
So somebody make a motion.
Okay, that's fine. I wasn't going to force it on you, but and keep in mind, if we were to take it off the calendar, it doesn't mean that we couldn't meet if something came up.
Exactly.
If suddenly something were to happen and someone needed to have a waiver heard, we can always have a special call. It doesn't mean we can't meet forever.
Uh-huh. So I motion to move the meetings to 6:30 p.m.
Okay.
Every Tuesday, one Tuesday a month.
And cancel?
Well, cancel or have pending cancellation.
November.
For November and December.
Okay.
Second for that?
A second.
Okay. All in favor?
All in favor.
All right.
Yes.
Oh, my God. 8 years. I've been waiting for this time to change. 8 years. Now, can you guys go to Sandy Valley and convince them to change their... All right. And the last one is review and accept the bylaws. These are the boilerplate bylaws that we've had for 5 years or so now. They're pretty general.
They're very general.
They list the date and time. We will amend them to show the new time. But otherwise, if there's something you feel strongly about that you want to change, we'll have to talk to the DA about it, because they are the same for all town boards. So
I motion to approve bylaws.
Second?
Full second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
So yeah, look them over if there's something you feel really strongly about, but they're pretty straightforward.
And that's good. Now we can take comments from the general public. That would be you guys.
Yes, Steve.
Actually, Megan,
yes?
I was hoping that you might tell us a little bit more about Transform Clark County. What's the status as far as for participation from our community, let's say?
Is it Diane? Are you the one doing Transform Clark County?
No.
Somebody. Maybe
is everyone aware of what Transform is?
Maybe I did not get a taker on that.
Well, don't think you did.
Okay.
We should know.
Hmm?
Yeah, oh, that'd be great if we could know.
Yeah, so then I will send it out again. It's not on the agenda to vote on, so we can't do it. But Transform Clark County is a two-pronged thing to redo the master plan, which is the big, we want to have a safe community, we want to have a clean community. And then it's also to redo Title 30. And if any of you have ever had to deal with Title 30, you know it needs to be rewritten. So the planning department said that one person from each town board can participate. So I sent you guys out an email a while back asking for someone to participate. So think about it if you'd like to be a part of it. We've had one call so far, one group call. And it was basically just a kickoff call about what we want to see happen. So we had someone from Sandy Valley, Mountain Springs, I think we had all the other towns, and then I'm always on the call representing all of the towns in general. And the overall discussion that came out of that one is the rurals are different. They need to be handled different, and not all the rurals are the same. You guys are not the same as Mount Charleston. I mean, it's very different, and you're not the same as Laughlin. So what a big thing that came out of that discussion, which was really cool for the it's a consultant that's doing it, a national consultant, and they picked right up on it when we were talking about, because I brought up a lot of examples. And one of the examples was the Wygans property over here on the corner, that they wanted them to do full offsites. They wanted to do them curb, gutter, and sidewalk. Well, it's silly. There's no reason, what a sidewalk to nowhere, you know? But for them to be able to do, to be consistent with their own community, they had to ask for a waiver against our code. And it makes no sense, because no one wants them to have a sidewalk in the first place. So so I brought that. That was the exact example I used on the call. I brought up a couple things about animals. Different communities have different desires for large animals. So that initial call that we had, the first one, was really basically just them kind of getting the tone of things. And one of the things that the consultants brought up that I thought was really interesting, they said there can be character areas. So the character of your community here with your walkable spaces, no off-sites, is kind of similar to parts of Indian Springs. So maybe that would be a character area rather than a zoning code. So that if somebody came in and wanted to develop a lot, they wouldn't have to ask to waive sidewalks because it's not part of the character of the community. So that's where we are. It's very preliminary. The big picture one is in the process. It's, like I said, it's very amorphous, and it's just a lot of that we want clean. We want access to jobs, and we want clean air and stuff. This is the nitty-gritty where we need community input.
And so will this committee be making the decision on how to change Title 30?
It gives input. The consultants are writing it. And I don't know that any of us could even tackle that. I mean, it's a monster. Title 30 is a monster. And so I honestly, on the call, it was a video conference, and I could see our planning staff, like, oh my God, you know, like, oh, what are they asking for? And the consultants were like, I hear what you're saying. I'm getting what you're saying. So I felt very encouraged by that first call. We'll see. They're going to check back in. One thing that I asked for and pushed for, and Commissioner Jones is pushing for, is that the consultants need to come out to each community and actually have a roundtable, maybe a discussion that, can't think of the word, someone that leads a discussion on what your priorities are, what you feel about your community, what is the character of your community. So I'm still pushing for that. That was not necessarily a part of the plan, especially with COVID. But as things are changing, this is a year-long process, so I'm going to continue to push on that, and then Commissioner Jones is too. They actually need to come meet you guys and meet each community and get your input, so it's not just one person. I mean...
Right, that seems imperative.
I'm with you. It seems like it makes sense to us, but sometimes not to the powers that be. So that's one thing I'm pushing for, and in that case, we would put it all out to everybody. Come sit down and tell us what you want. So,
That's the good. Best thing I've heard about it, because that was one of the things that was perturbing me about it, because all of a sudden I see it going on and on, but now no input
I'll say this as nicely as possible. For us liaisons, it's been perturbing to us too. It's been not a very transparent process so far. So I couldn't share much because I couldn't even make sense of it myself.
I happened to note it on the bottom of one of the forms that I've been getting for the last 2 years about my project down here on the street. In fact, just to quickly relate, one of the things that happens with the Title 30 right now, to be able to continue to maybe ever get my containers permitted, they ask me to remove Cottonwood Cap, which is...
Oh, no.
It's unbelievable. But the fact is, and that's what Megan is helping me address it right now, but it's none of the people that you get to deal with down there have ever been out here either. So that's why it's imperative that we get some input and be able to make
some of
that known.
So here's what happens. If you were an engineer, a traffic engineer, you look at a plan, and the road that goes by the Cottonwood Cabin, I think we'd all admit, is not a standard size road. It doesn't have you can't have two cars passing each other. So really, to a traffic engineer, it's a complete nightmare. And if you were to pass, you might run into the tree, that big giant tree that's there. So they look at it and say, no, this road is not okay. It needs to be done this way.
Right.
And so then it takes someone like me to come out and say, wait a minute, this is the way it is. I think that tree and house were there probably before the maps were recorded that created that road, I'm thinking.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And that's why the commissioner has discretion to override what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they are right. Sometimes it could be a safety concern, maybe not that particular one, but there are places where, like Sandy Valley Road, at the top of the pass, if you've ever met a car come in, that's a place where it needs to be taken care of and those lanes need to be wider. So that's why the commissioner has the discretion on things like that. And honestly, I didn't, it's very weird on his project because that portion isn't even adjacent to the parcel in question.
It's not on my property. Anyway, it's unbelievable.
So yeah, it's a strange one, but we are working on it, and the commissioner has no intention to make you remove that building. So we just have to
Work
it the right way and get it through the right way.
So. We'll protest.
The thing that's very frustrating is that had somebody from New York or California just bought the property, went to the county and did that, and they told them to do it, they probably would have just torn it down and had been gone. So that's what's very, and that's what, the only way that we can possibly do it is together. And that comes to the next thing that I just want to bring to your guys' attention. This is the 20th year of the Good Springs Historical Society. Of course, last year we weren't able to have a meeting. I'm cautiously optimistic that we will again get back to the 38th annual Good Springs reunion, which would be on the same weekend as this trail ride, which would be awesome.
Oh yeah.
So hopefully by May 1st and 2nd we'll be back able to have some of these events. But up until that time, one of my goals for this year also is to try to get some more participation, you know, and get more information out. We've collected a lot of data, a lot of pictures, a lot of very good information on our little town. We just need to disseminate it a little bit better. So what I'm offering, and just for you guys as a something to think about, is at the end of our CAC meetings, which is like a monthly thing, after adjournment, I would put together a 15 or 20 minute presentation dealing with one of the houses in town, the community center, or something about the town. Nobody has to stay or anything, but just to try to get four or five more people maybe interested in trying to prevent something like this other thing happen. Because we have two of the oldest buildings in Clark County. The two rock buildings, one's 1886, one's 1890. Other than the Mormon Fort and a few places up in Bunkerville, these are the oldest buildings in the county. But the two of those are on private property. So we have to try to see if we want to try to save it.
Mm-hmm.
So just something for thought, I would get either myself or someone that knows about that building to talk for a few minutes, bring some photos. We've done a presentation at Pioneering Las Vegas in town. Five of us did a presentation, and most everybody in the audience stayed the whole presentation. So it's actually pretty interesting, and I think it's something that we would all hopefully be more excited about, some of the little buildings that we have.
Has anybody tried to put any of them on the National Historic Registry to protect them?
Well, it's pretty hard to put something on somebody else's property on the Historic Register. You know, private property, you can't do that. You know, I mean,
you have to get them to do
it,
right?
They have to be willing to help.
Right.
You know, yes, that would be excellent, but they have to be willing participants. One is, the other one is not.
Oh, boy.
So basically, think about that as a pop, you know, or what other way can we, hopefully, like I said, things will be back to reasonably normal in a few months. But until then, is there any other ideas that you can, our website has been updated quite a bit, goodspringsnevada.org, and a lot of that information is there. Anyway.
Thank you, Steve. You got anything else?
I do, but I'm that's it.
Are you sure? Okay. Anybody else have anything they'd like to bring up?
I need
your name.
Nancy Domiano Sader.
Okay.
And this is my husband, Merle. We have the cabin before you enter Good Springs. and the
Mike Niles' old cabin, the one that's
Mike Niles' old cabin. And the concern that I have are the four wheelers, because they're driving and all that dirt is going right into the.
You're preaching to the choir.
Right.
So actually,
which is wonderful.
If I can help you a little bit, she called me today, and the concern of the four wheelers is them going up on the hill.
Because, up on the hill by the bar?
Yeah, because they're right across the street from that. So when they're up on the hill, all the dirt and dust is going right into the house, and it's hard to breathe.
Right. And
now they understand where.
The problem with that is that piece of property. That piece of property is privately owned.
Right.
And she doesn't live here. And I don't know who can help you with that, because
411.
Well, there's I believe that's
the Boot Hill, we call it. The hill that's right next to the bar.
Okay.
That's directly across the street from these folks' home.
It is.
It's causing them a lot of distress when the four-wheelers try to go up the hill all the time, because it pushes massive dust and dirt into their area.
Right.
So you have a dust abatement problem.
Not owned by the bar, privately owned by another person who doesn't live in town, who lives in California, I believe. And
do they allow it?
Yes. Well, they don't care. Let's put it that way. They don't care.
Right.
But isn't it true that they're responsible for the dust coming off of their property? No matter where they live, no matter who they are, they're responsible for that, especially if they're allowing it or they're not aware of the people going up that hill.
Right.
They're blissfully unaware, let's put it that way.
So, two things. One, I'll have to look into it a little deeper. One thing that we don't deal with, and people get this confused, we deal with criminal law. We don't deal with civil or tort law.
Right.
So how do we define this? On face value, if it's privately owned and the owner allows it, okay, then you really don't have a crime. You have an irritation, a quality of life issue, but you don't have a crime.
Right. We have a hazardous environment to breathe.
Right. I totally get it. I totally understand. I'm just trying to shoot it to everybody straight.
So
what is hazardous material? I guarantee you, Clark County has identified what is hazardous and what is not. Now, you bring up a good point. When they build these neighborhoods, the companies are mandated to have water trucks to knock down the dust. Does it fall under those terms? Not 100% sure. If it's guys just racing up and down with a dirt bike. So it has to be looked into a little bit more on the county side. If I was to see today, would I say, that's against the law? I guarantee you there's no interest for that. There could be a county code for that. Again, there has to be, because that's why construction companies have to knock it down with water. But to give you an accurate answer, I can't do that right now. But it's also a quality of life issue. I get it. So how do we address it? Well, I educate myself on it, and then we go from there. I'll tell you right up front, a lot of times what's not a quality of life issue, but it's a disturbance or irritant, isn't against the law all the time. I hate to break it to everybody, but that's just the way.
I don't think that we're questioning whether it's against the law or not, but how does she overcome this challenge? And yes, I believe it's a county issue, and I believe that
code
there's...
enforcement.
I don't know. And so dust control is required when you're doing construction, but like my horse is running around on my arena kicking up dust, I don't think I can get cited by air quality for dust being kicked up by animals. So I don't know what the rules are.
Well, you're on horse property, and so I'm just throwing this out there that maybe that's all encompassed in that fact that you have horse property.
But I don't know. I could be driving my trailer around and kicking up dust.
Yeah,
and if it's a
windy
day,
it's 2 acres. It's not defined by, is it a horse property
right.
or not a horse? Two acres, 2 acres.
So it's a multifaceted thing that we're going to have to figure out. And because Pick is still new in this, we have not tackled our OHV thing yet. I still have my plan, my drawn out plan. We do have a new area manager for, or area director for NDOT. So I'm thinking we're going to make some traction with that, which I think would help this circumstance. But if they're not dumping trash that we could go out and pick up, I don't know. I don't know the answer, but I'll give you my card. We'll both look into it. And it's the same thing with enforcement all the time. If he goes out and if we find out it's something that he can ticket and he tickets those people, next weekend if another group comes out, they don't know that the other person got a ticket. So I don't know what the ultimate answer is going to be, but we can look into it.
Can I make a suggestion? Because I was the one who said, you know, come tonight and meet Megan and, you know, see what we can do from there. What about the old-fashioned good neighbor thing, trying to contact the owner of the property and letting her know that this is happening and it's causing, you know, hazardous air or, you know, around the community?
There was a time. Hasn't she been contacted before?
Yes.
I don't know.
Not so many years ago. I'll say within the last, maybe 5 years ago.
Where we live.
Where she had, she actually had a barricade up with a no trespassing sign on it that kind of helped a little bit to stop some of this action. That's since in the last, let me say, 5 to 7 years, that has since disappeared. I don't know why. I don't know if she took it off. I don't know if somebody else took it off, but it disappeared. And she just seems to be, like I said, blissfully unaware of the situation and doesn't really care because she's not here.
Right.
Frankly. Right. And so, yeah, I mean, somebody can contact her and ask her to be neighborly and
right.
do something about it, but can we make her? I don't think so.
Well, there's steps to take. That's where the ballot thing comes in. And I'll be wrong, you bring up a good point, reference what you're talking about. You know, back in the day, neighbors were neighbors. One word changes all that. Does anybody know what it is? California. It's true. So you've got to ask yourself, that person owns the land. What investment do they have into the community? Nothing. I can tell you right now, it's financial. Eventually, they're going
to
sell it.
Oh, they've tried to sell it for years.
Yeah.
They just can't get the price they want. Because they wanted to build, this is no joke, they wanted to build a castle on top of it that had all kinds of different...
I heard about that.
A restaurant.
Yeah,
and
it was ridiculous.
An automotive repair shop. They had just a whole slew of things they wanted to build on top of that area.
You guys are going to have to control that. But he has no personal... That whoever owns the land in California does not have personal investment. So what is a quality of life issue for you guys? It is not a quality of life issue for them. So we have to take this in steps. The best way I can handle this is educate myself. And then go from there and see what direction I can take and what direction I can. You know, it's tough. It's tough.
It is part of a bigger problem, though, that we're going to have to tackle.
Absolutely.
Well, sure. I don't know. If it was me personally, and I'm just going to say how I feel. If it was me personally, I would attempt to contact the owner, let the owner know what's happening on the property, remind them that they are liable for anyone who may get injured while driving up there.
Right. We don't know that.
Well,
I said might.
They might be liable.
Yeah.
And make them aware that there's a problem.
And one thing you have to take...
Knowledge is power. So if they don't know, let's inform them what's happening and see how cooperative they are. And, you know, do they in fact care about the community or not? You know,
I would much rather send a letter saying absolutely find out what the rules are and say these are the rules I have found out. So not a maybe, absolutely this is your label.
Well,
so,
and
you know.
And there's, you know, a softer neighborly way to approach it or, you know, hard if you find out that they're not going to cooperate and say, here's the issue even further and here are, you know, whatever dust codes, if it's dust abatement or the health district, you know.
Well, all that's public record.
That can help you, so.
So you can look up who this person is and get that information.
I don't know the address. I thought of that, but I don't know what the address is.
I can find it for you.
Okay.
And one thing that you want to consider.
Pardon me?
One thing you want to consider, too, is you might want to start off just handling this as a friendly neighbor conversation.
Right.
And
right.
I'll tell you why.
That's
because if you go from step one to step nine,
right,
and you immediately incorporate the county, what might happen is the county comes back with their decision, say they're doing absolutely nothing wrong. Then what happens is your problem just went from a little problem to now their mentality is going to be, I can do what I want. The county says I don't have to do nothing. Mm-hmm. Where if you handle it on the low end, hey, you know, we live here, help the brother out type thing, you might get the better response.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's,
I mean, I didn't mean go guns blazing. That's not what I meant. But if you know that there are liability issues, you can say, hey, you know what, just so you know, if somebody got hurt, it would be a problem, you know.
And if you use the word safety, that might get their attention.
We have the same problem because we live on the road out there, and they go hauling bananas past our place. They tear our road up. I have to go out there with a rake and shovel to try to repair our road so that our cars don't, you know, and we live there. They don't. So, and we can't keep our doors open because all the dirt comes in.
Right.
You know, and my husband's really sick. So, you know,
there's a hundred
problem.
There's 101 things we can talk about as far as the OHV, the razors and that come through here. There's 100 different issues on every street in Good Springs that we can talk about, you know, all the things that they do that drive us crazy.
I kind of don't get why they have to do it so close to town. I mean, it's a desert out here.
Well, it's a fun hill to go up, that's why.
It's a challenge.
It used to be. Really isn't.
And all of them don't. All of them don't make it. So some of them have to
back down.
Go back down backwards because they
don't. I really worry about the lungs. Quite frankly,
the what?
Lungs. Because when our son comes home, he's always coughing.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize why he was always coughing.
Yeah.
He's always coughing something up.
Yeah.
That's my concern. I understood the friendly, neighborly way to go about doing things.
What if the group, now you mentioned that at one time they were willing to block it off.
They actually did.
They might not be completely against listening to what needs to be said if it was more than just one resident. If they knew that it was signed by or came from the community in general, it may be signed by 40 or 50 people, 20 people, 15 people.
We talked
very polite, friendly, starting, like you said, starting at the bottom, a very nice, neighborly, polite, friendly, you know, we would really, this is what's happening. Is there any way that you could maybe change this? Start there, and then they don't do anything.
Yeah.
Ramp it up a
go next
bit.
Level.
Here's the other
but they
complication.
They might be completely willing to do it.
It's on the hill. There's three different owners.
Oh.
It's not all owned by one person.
Oh, the hill is owned by three different people.
Is it three different
people?
APN numbers?
Oh, yeah. It's three different owners, different portions. There's one this side, and the back side.
But if it's just one resident saying that they may just
right.
move it off. But if they know
oh, Larry,
the whole
right.
community is looking
yeah.
at them.
Oh, but that definitely puts a kink in the works if there's three separate owners that you have to deal with instead of
I mean,
one.
How long has it been since any of the owners have been out here? Maybe they assume that barrier is still up after, 7 years?
I haven't seen the one woman that I did know owned at least portion of it. I haven't seen her in 10 years, at least.
Yeah.
And you would think these people from California, if you come into a town and the first thing you see or the first thing you come to is a graveyard, you think you wouldn't want to mess with this. right? Am I right?
You can send a nice
clearly,
picture of the graveyard along
they're
with
not
it.
Getting that. They must be coming from the backside. Like I said, any town, the first thing you come to is a graveyard. My first thought process is I'm turning around going right back the other way. I'm not messing with
My dad used to always say, you get more bees with honey than you do with vinegar. So if you try the honey approach first, and, you know, if it means sending a nice little note to, you know, the three property owners, start there, and if not, and if you need our help as a community, you know, I'm sure that that will help sign a letter, or, you know, like Larry suggested, you know, we all get together and support that. Because, I mean, personally, I see safety as an issue. You know, I live far enough away. I don't get the dust like you guys get in the house over there. But I see the safety issue. And if we let them know, not only is it causing a big dust problem with the people driving up the hill, but there's a safety issue. You know, people get injured up there. And
I've seen cars roll off of the top.
Exactly.
Because it's not very wide up there. So yeah. Sometimes they, you know, haul butt up there, and they don't realize that once they actually hit the peak, they're just going to go right over the other side.
Yeah.
So I've seen cars roll.
That happened yesterday, right?
Steve.
Yeah.
So maybe exchange some information with Megan. You have my number, and, you know, we'll see what we can do to help as a community, and
okay.
See what
and
kind
I
of
have a good response, then maybe
yeah
I have the town be involved if
yeah the next closest house is Shannon is you mm-hmm. right there so yeah. You know, I can see, you know, getting some help from Shannon because she has the house that's just behind the Pioneer on that mm-hmm. corner of Fail
oh, okay.
and Main. So
Julie's old place.
It goes right
yeah.
back to, though, man,
yeah.
what
yeah.
you just mentioned, the overall OHV problem. Mm-hmm. That's part of it, and it's all around town.
But, you know, Steve, a lot of the people that go up that hill, they're Jeeps. They're not the 4x4s. They're Jeeps, and they're four-wheel drive trucks that are going up there.
And motorcycles.
Yeah. So it's not just the four-wheelers that are driving out in the desert. So, you know...
So the
they're all part of that.
It's
too
not
many.
A challenge if you're in a razor.
Cool.
It's cool. More of a challenge for some of the other people.
Right, there you go, Monica. Yeah.
The parcel that's closest to the bar is on the one that lives in Las Vegas.
Oh, good.
Oh. Closer to the bar? Okay.
Mm. On that side.
That
awesome. So see where you get that. You've got a place to start.
Is Does it show that Kate Huddleston still owns the portion that's in the back?
Nope, that one was sold in... Oh, no. No, there's no Huddleston.
Or Dan.
This is all public information. I'm not
yeah.
sharing.
Right.
It's
that's why I'm asking
right
you.
Right on our website, you can look at
that's
it.
Why I'm asking you.
You can look at exactly what I'm looking at.
Because I had an avenue I could have went to if Kate... Or Dan Gonzalez still owned.
Yes, they do.
Okay, so there's an avenue that I might have some pull in. Kate is a good friend of mine. She owns the piece that's actually on the ground level that's behind the front. So if you look at Boot Hill and you see the ground level kind of next to the bar, then
mm-hmm.
behind a piece of that, there's kind of an invisible line where her property starts. In any case, it's right up against Boot Hill. So I can talk to her and see if she's willing to come out and, because she lives here in Vegas, if she's willing to come out and put something up, some no trespassing signs or some kind of barrier or something like that.
Give them something to shoot at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope
oh,
not.
That's
weird. That's a whole other issue.
The worst coming out of your mouth was, I was aiming for a coyote.
That's for sure.
So, it's almost 9.
Okay, anybody else have any comments? Okay. Then our next meeting date is...
March 30th.
March 30th. And... I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Yep.
All right. Yay!
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. Oh, here's your mess. Yeah, because Colleen and I get up at 5.
Most things that we talk about little things like adjournment, for instance, don't I have to take a
are we folding up chairs?
Mm-hmm.
But then
most of the big cities,
so any time he's doing the
Follow you.
He says, I moved to do something else. Or I mean, just, I moved to start this special call. And then somebody has their second note. And then what's that? And that's the first thing ever first. So made the motion earlier. They have to speak in the positive sense about the issue. But when it comes to voting, they don't have to vote that.
You know, I don't know.
Off.
I'm on again.
I don't think we can.